Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Owen Drake's Big Ideas. Last week, I explained that gravity is not in fact an attractive force between bodies, as is generally believed, but rather the effect of an omnidirectional energy flow that is present in and generated by empty space. And before I continue, I would like to point out that the transcript for this episode is posted alongside the podcast at owendrakesbigideas.com, and it contains several illustrations which might be helpful in understanding the concepts herein. In essence, empty space behaves in many ways like a moving fluid, flowing in every direction at once, passing through solid objects, which are themselves mostly empty space, and being slightly impeded by them, like rocks in a stream. I have dubbed this ever-present omnidirectional energy flow the omniflow. The Earth impedes the omniflow, so the flow we feel coming up through the Earth is reduced in comparison to the unimpeded flow we feel from above, so we are pressed to the Earth by the flow, like the experience we know as gravity. Today I will be explaining the relationship between the omniflow and the strong nuclear force, which binds together atoms. We are beginning to see how empty space behaves like a moving fluid, and when dealing with moving fluids, there is nothing more basic than the Bernoulli effect. Bernoulli's principle actually deals with the fluid's pressure, but we are only concerned with the flow velocity. Because the omniflow is not composed of interacting particles, it does not exert static fluid pressure, only flow pressure. The important part for us is how parts of a moving fluid must accelerate in order to pass around an object in the fluid's flow path. The fluid that must change direction in order to go around the object ends up with a longer path to follow than the fluid going straight. So, in order to stay with the stream, the disturbed fluid must accelerate, so that it can cover the longer path in the same amount of time as the rest of the fluid that was not disturbed by the object. See illustration number 1. This is an important concept to understand, and is the basis of much of fluidity theory, as the omniflow experiences this same effect when it has to pass around subatomic particles, rather than pass between them, as it does the majority of the time. I should preface this by saying that this segment is highly theoretical, even in comparison to the astronomically theoretical nature of the omniflow theory itself. This portion of my work has not been based on or yet compared to the advanced mathematical descriptions of quantum behavior, and relies entirely on summaries of that behavior and physical approximation. But some of the concepts will be essential elsewhere, so I think it's still worth looking at these early stages. For those not familiar, the strong nuclear force is responsible for binding together the smallest particles that exist. It binds together groups of quarks to form protons and neutrons, and it binds groups of protons and neutrons together to form atomic nuclei. Because protons are positively charged, they ought to repel each other by the electromagnetic force, which they do at certain distances. But when they get very close together, they are pulled together by an attractive force much stronger than their electromagnetic repellent force. This is known as the strong nuclear force, and I believe it can be framed in terms of fluidity theory. Quarks are the smallest things we know of. They bunch together to form protons and neutrons, and some other things besides. In the analogy of a stream of water, picture a quark as a single carbon atom. This single atom does not impede the stream, because it will act as a part of the stream. But if you clump several such atoms together, there will be interference in the flow on the molecular level. Quarks work like this in the omniflow. They are too small to have an individual effect on the flow, but several bound together will cause a disturbance. And they are bound together by the omniflow itself. Once two or more quarks come into contact, they experience no flow pressure from the area of contact with the other quark, because there is no flow contact there. The result is maximum flow pressure pushing the quarks together. See illustration number 2. Once there is a clump of quarks in the form of a proton or a neutron, the omniflow experiences disturbance, like a rock in the stream. Recalling Bernoulli's principle, it would follow that there are areas of high-velocity omniflow surrounding all subatomic particles.
When particles are at a distance from each other, the high-velocity streams have had time to remerge with the dominant flow, and the effects are only felt as gravity. But when particles get very close to each other, these high-velocity streams interact directly with the other particle. At near distance, we can expect that the high-velocity streams have a repellent force on the other particle, which might help explain why it is so hard to get particles very close together. See illustration number 3. But we are now concerned with the next point, at which the high-velocity streams merge. I call this the high-velocity bypass state. The particles are so close that the high-velocity streams move fluidly from the area of one particle to the next. At this point, the particles stop feeling the full energy of the other particle's high-velocity flow, and you are left with an area of relatively low flow between the particles, so they are forced together by the omniflow, just like quarks. See illustration number 4. But unlike quarks, protons and neutrons never come completely into contact. This is because the omniflow in direct contact with the particle must always complete the full circuit around the particle. It cannot break away into a bypass state like the neighboring high-velocity flow because there is no way for empty space to separate from matter. So the border flow must make the full trip around, and it is the longest possible trip, which gives that section of the flow the highest possible velocity, so I dub it super high-velocity flow. When the super high-velocity flow region of one particle overlaps that of the other, they form a slipstream between the two particles, which I call the super high-velocity exchange state. These combined super high-velocity flows generate sufficient flow pressure to resist the omniflow pressure from outside the system, so the particles are held apart at a distance of about 0.7 femtometers. See illustration number 5. And this, quite simply, is how the omniflow is responsible for what is known as the strong nuclear force. If you're thinking now, but Owen, if the omniflow accelerates around matter, wouldn't the flow coming through the Earth actually be faster than the flow coming from space, and so shouldn't we be propelled away from the Earth instead of pushed toward it? Well, you can check out my next installment on fluidity and relativity for answers to that question and more. For further fun in the world of physics, I suggest the hilarious book by renowned nuclear physicist Richard Feynman, titled Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. I'm Owen Drake. Thanks for listening. Good night.